Thank you, Brother Craig. Appreciate the opportunity to preach. I think I'm on. Okay, there we go. What would Ireland be like without Brother Craig Ledbetter? It would be a different place. I think he has a lasting influence down there in Cork, but I think throughout the country, and a good influence in that he's a good conservative brother and stands for truth and preaches it unabashedly. And so I appreciate him and appreciate all that he has done for missions and gospel work here in Ireland, and I'm just very grateful to be with you. Good to meet some of my past friends and also some of you men that I haven't met before. I'm just glad to be able to be among good men and the singing and the fellowship of just men. It's an awesome thing and an awesome opportunity. I'm not a man of many words. I never preach long or hardly ever preach long, very, very rarely, so I won't keep you real long tonight. But I do want to talk with you a little bit about a legacy. Because ultimately, when you look at the life of Lot, you are noticing a man who has no legacy. He has no future. He has nothing that he is leaving behind. There is nothing of any value from his life. His life is a picture of poor choices and the destitution, ultimately, that it brings to us. But before we start, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I pray now that you would be with us. I pray that you would help us, Father, to have the right mind, and help us, Father, to have thy power as I preach. I pray that you would help us anoint our ears, Father, that we could hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would do something in our midst tonight. Lord, I pray that you would work in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. Someday your life is going to be summarized in a single sentence. And when people remember you or they think of you, it will be a very brief phrase. It's kind of hard to think of our life that way when our life is composed of so much. And when we think back of the history of our life, we are very familiar with all of the details of our life, from our childhood to our middle adult years, and even to our later life years. But someday, when we are gone, that will not be remembered. People are going to remember just a very short, succinct phrase or statement about you. Can we turn it down a little bit? Okay. If others were to summarize your life in a single sentence, how would they do it? What would they actually say about you? So when they think of you and they think of the life that you have lived, what's the image that comes into their mind? What's the feeling in their heart? What's it that they hear when they think of you? But more importantly, what is it that God thinks of you? And when the Lord looks at your life, the life that you have lived for Him, what is it that He thinks of you? Because the Bible tells us His thoughts towards you are without number. But as He sees what no one else sees, and as He observes the choices that you have made, what is it that He sees? You see, all of us have a desire for significance. Every one of us has a profound need to know that our lives counted for something. Well, we may not want to acknowledge that, and we may not want to say that I'm searching for significance or I'm searching for fulfillment. You are. And the fact of the matter is, many of the choices that you make, many of the goals that you have, many of the dreams that you have, they are directly related to your desire to find fulfillment, for your desire to be seen as a person of value and a person who has substance, a person who is appreciated in this life. Deep down, you have that desire, and it defines you, whether you realize it or not. There are things that you do, and there are things that you do not do, and there are long-term goals that you have that are born out of this. If you were to analyze your life and realize it, this need for significance, you would realize that's why you do a lot of the things that you do. You know, sometimes people take drugs, and we say that they escape, but I think it's also for the feeling that they get from the drugs. I do a Bible study with a GP, and he told me, I was asking him about crystal meth and cocaine. And he said that crystal meth and cocaine, when it is taken, what it does is it stimulates the sensory pleasure part of your brain. It's the part of your brain that becomes active when you have sex. Well, he said that that becomes stimulated, and it's just like a short circuit. All it does is it goes directly to that part of the brain. It excites that part of the brain, and it releases those things. And people take crystal meth or cocaine because of how it does that particular activity in their brain. Why do they do it? Maybe they're trying to escape the misery of the choices that they have made and the fact that their life really doesn't have any significance. And the fact that maybe they have destroyed their family, they have destroyed other lives, and they're simply trying to escape and enjoy the feeling that this thing is bringing. Legacies are important. Do you realize the Bible says a lot about legacy? When you look at the Bible, it talks oftentimes about the life a person's lived and their death. And it says in Ecclesiastes that a life that is poorly lived and a shallow funeral is actually a life that is almost worth considering whether or not it was worth living. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, when they buried a king, the king was buried in the sepulcher of the kings, if he was a good king, or a little closer, or a little outside of that, or even further away. It determined the life that they lived and the legacy that they lived. It's interesting today that oftentimes it's funny how we view life now. Sometimes when people die, we don't even go to their funeral. It's almost like a life of legacy or a life of enduring value, a life of substance. It's almost like we're hiding from it and we're running from that particular thing. The sociologist Tommy Campolo asked 50 people over the age of 95 what they would do differently if they had to live their life over again. Their answers varied, but as he asked that question, there were two common themes that came up. 95 years old and older, what would you do differently? One was, I would reflect more. I would stop and I would think. We get so busy in projects and plans. We get so busy in activities and obligations. There are so many things that pull us, and before we know it, a large portion of our life can be consumed on something that really is not very significant at all. And what they were saying is, I would stop and I would pull back and I would think. Do you ever just stop and think? Do you have a place in your house where you just sit down, a chair that you sit down in that you just think? When you're out at a place like this, do you take time to get alone, to get away from all of the other things that tend to condition your thinking and look at things freshly and anew? If you had to do it all over again, they then said, I would do more things that will live after I've died. I would do more things that actually count in some eternal way. You see, when we begin to desire things of world, when we begin to think in a lateral way, and this is crucial, when you look at a life of significance, when you begin to look at life strictly like this, in a horizontal way, I mean, it's based on what people think about you or what other people value. It's what our Irish culture says is of importance. And if you have this, you are significant. It is all horizontal. When we begin to think in that way, significance is extremely elusive. You see, true purpose in our life is only found as it is connected to the will of God. You have a body which is flesh, and you have a spirit. Your body is what connects with the world around you, and your spirit is what connects with God, and wedged between that is your soul. So you are an eternal soul created in the image of God. And when you and I, as eternal beings, try and derive all of our significance from everything that is lateral, we find we are empty. We find that we are void. We find that it is futile. And we begin to try and stuff more and more things into our lives and into our hearts. And ultimately, that's what Lot was doing. I think Lot wanted to have a life of significance. I think he wanted to prove to people that he had importance. Maybe he was overshadowed by his uncle Abraham, and maybe he wanted to prove outside of him that he had significance. He wanted to rise to a position of leadership within the place where he was living. But significance from people is so shallow. It is so shallow. Do you know that is a great point in your life when you realize what other people think of you really doesn't matter? That is an awesome place to be. I used to labor. I still do somewhat, but I think we all do. But as you get a little bit older, you really don't care as much what people think, because you realize what people think is really, really fickle. It's really, really funny. It is light. It doesn't really matter. I mean, think about it. If you really do find success, you'll be envied for that success. People will begrudge you of it and try and take it from you and try and say you didn't even deserve it in the first place. And if you don't find success, people will say, look at you, you don't have any worth because you didn't get the success. I mean, you think about it. How much value is there in what people think about you, especially people that don't even know you? I don't know. I guess I'm getting old, but I really, really don't care a lot what people think about me. Oh, there are some people that I care very much about what they think about me. My wife and my children, my family. Oh, I care very much what they think of me. The men that are in my church. Oh, I care very much. The good men, what they think of me. And then less so of my peers and other friends and things like that. But people that I just meet, it doesn't really matter. Thinking about your worth based on the values of the world in which you live is incredibly futile. If you just step back and think for a minute that even if you measured up to their values, so what? Yeah. Ultimately, it's going to pass and be of no real value. You are an eternal being. And when you try and live life without connecting to your eternal purpose, it leads to a life of ultimate futility. When we develop the secular longings, we live like the world and think like the world, and that characterizes our approach to life and the way that we think about life, it's futile. And ultimately, it ends in complete futility. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. You might be there already. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and in hearing. In seeing and in hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot wanted what the world had to offer. The word vexed means to be wearied or to be worn down. And I think as Lot hungered for these things, and I think as he actually achieved some of these things, I think he just got more and more broken down. And you see that in life. We see that in our relatives. We see that in the world that is around us, that as they get these things, it doesn't satisfy. It almost breaks them. Instead of it being a blessing in their life, it can actually almost be a curse. Can you see Lot laboring for the next possession, for the next hit, for the next thing that will seem to bring pleasure and purpose in our life? And if we're not careful, I think as pastors, we can be susceptible to this. And we can begin to think that we are measured by the ministries that we have, by the numbers and the quality of the people perhaps that we have. We are measured by these things. And are we not guilty of the same secular views and secular mindset? Or we are proud because we don't have anybody, but we are faithful. It is the same mindset. Seeking fulfillment out of a horizontal view of life. You wonder, why do people brag sometimes about who they know? Why do they brag about what they drive or where they live or what they have? It's because they're seeking value. And if you take one thing from what I'm saying today, take this, that the values that you think will establish you and that will make you a person who is happy and who is fulfilled, that if those values are what you are trying to get, when you get that, if you get that, it won't. It never will. People are incredibly simple when they value people. Sometimes I read equipment reviews. I love audiovisual and tools and equipment and things like that. And I'll read a review every once in a while if I was to buy a microphone. And recently I talked with my kids on Skype occasionally, and I came across a USB microphone, a 30-euro USB microphone on Amazon.com. So I was reading a review on it. I know a little bit about microphones and about recording. And the reviews were written, and they were saying things like, the most amazing microphone on the planet. It is crystal clear, a zero noise floor. There is no better sound available. And these were written by people with a certain perspective. But what about the guy who is in the studio, he uses $500 or $4,000 microphones, and they have these big fat sounds that come out of them? He doesn't even care what they think, does he? Because he knows what a $30 microphone do, and he knows what his mic going into a certain preamp can do. And you and I as believers should be so spiritually oriented and so aware of heavenly values that what everybody else values and what everybody else looks to, it doesn't really matter. People make judgments on all things, sorts of things that do not necessarily mean anything in our life. They don't know us. And they don't look past the color of our skin or the clothes we wear or the accent that we speak with. Do you see? That what others think of you, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't establish anything. It has no real value to it. It is the people that know you, that know the life that you live and know what you stand for and know your character. That means a little bit, but ultimately that even that is limited. What really matters is what God thinks of you. That is what truly matters. Without God, life is disjointed. There is no unity. It doesn't fit. It's like a garbled, incoherent, confused charade. True purpose, it is inseparably linked to your walk with the Lord, to the way that you fellowship with Him, the way that you serve Him. So to find significance in your life, we must discover what His will is. And ultimately, that's what Lot did not know. Ultimately, he was so driven by the passions, so driven by the consuming desire to possess, to have, and to own, to the view of his standing among his peers. He had absolutely no concept of what God was doing. So if you're going to find significance, one of the core things that you have to do is you have to identify, what is God doing in my midst, in my situation, and where I'm at? Where is God working? As a pastor, I'm always looking for that. I'm always looking, where is God working? And one of the ways that I actually look for it is, I look at people who respond to the Word. Because if I can find somebody that is going into the Bible and is reading the Bible and they're actually making decisions on it, you can take that person a long ways. But if someone does not come to the Word and is not responding to the Word, it's sad, but you kind of know the outcome that's going to come to that. You see, our world is in disarray. And the purpose and plan of God is marching on. God is moving. It's an awesome thought when you think about it. What is God doing in Ireland today? What is God doing in Ireland? What is God? Not what is the Fine Gael and what is the guards doing and what are these little towns and counties doing? But what is God doing in our country and in our midst? You see, that is the key to finding a life of significance. Because when you know that and are connected into that, that makes a huge difference. Think of the Pharisees in the Bible. Pharisees were guys who were very ritualistic. And they were viewed as the man of the people. They were viewed as the guys who really knew spiritual things. They had the robes. They had the aura of spirituality. And yet, they were completely disconnected with what God was actually doing in that situation. They were so disconnected that they were pivotal in crucifying the Savior. They were so caught up in their world of tradition and power and influence that they never even understood that the Son of God was among them doing their particular work, His particular work. It is crucial that we grasp and comprehend what God is doing in our world. Because if we go through life giving ourselves to something that appears to be right and appears to be of value, ultimately, we will be very discouraged when we come to the end of that road. So what is God doing? What is God doing in Ireland today. When you go through the Old Testament and you begin to look at it, it is so organized and so comprehensive. God is establishing a people, and out of Abraham's descendants, his 12 great-grandchildren, we begin to see God forming a nation. And one particular tribe, the tribe of Judah, that tribe in particularly is recognized as the one that will bring forth the Messiah. He's revealing himself to all nations and to all people which are around them, and revealing to them who he is, his character, his nature, his sense of holiness, his love, and through his sacrificial system, the blood that is shed, the atonement, and the coming Messiah. In the old, the new is concealed. And in the new, the old is revealed. When you come to the New Testament, you see God placing the Jews on a shelf. And we see as the Babylonians pass and the Persians come into existence, we see them going into Greece and causing problems with the Greeks, and eventually Alexander is incited out of that, and I think God is behind all of that. Alexander is paying back the Persians for the loss that was recently incurred on Artaxerxes, Esther's father, had received from them. And he begins to go back into Persia, and he begins to pay them back. But as he does so, he spreads Greek culture, Greek language through the known world. And the world begins to gain a common culture, a common way of speaking. And then, as you see the Romans come onto the scene, they adopt a lot of the Greek culture. But then they give it to administration and this brutal military rulership, and they provide a way for the Messiah to come. So Greek language and culture, Roman administration is there. Look with me in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Galatians 4 and verse number 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time means at the precise moment. It's an amazing thought that God is orchestrating these nations. He's orchestrating all of these particular events so that when Christ comes on the scene and he is crucified and the disciples begin to go out, it is the absolute optimal moment for this to occur, because that is his purpose. And those who oppose that purpose, their life is futile and it comes to nothing. But those who understand and agree and comprehend and are friendly to that purpose, ultimately, their lives have purpose. So what has Jesus been doing through the ages, and what is Jesus doing today? Jesus is establishing his church. It is exactly what he's doing. Church, the church is his story. It's revealing his redemptive plan. And while the world appears to be out of control, and as we go through epic periods of instability, we find that God is establishing his people. He is quietly building and congregating local New Testament churches. What he has been doing for 2,000 years, it's exactly what he is doing today. And if we want to know what God is doing, look at the New Testament churches in the country, because that is what God is doing. We are at the center of what he's actually doing. And though we may be despised by the world and unrecognized in society, when we understand what he's doing and we become a part of that, our lives have infinite significance. Jesus comes, he is crucified as the atonement or covering for sin. He is resurrected. And as he sends out his disciples into the world, the purpose and the plan of God begins to flow. The plan of God is revealed. And the plan of God is known. And as it is accepted, it then becomes something that can bring great fruit to our life. Look with me in Matthew 16 and verse number 13. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, Petra, a pebble, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Do you know God is known by inanimate objects? How can you see God? You cannot see him. You cannot know him. You cannot know God with any natural sense. He is impossible to be seen. He can only be known through your spirit. So occasionally God will use certain things that you can understand. So Jesus says he is a door. God compares himself often to light. And throughout the Old Testament, God says he is a rock, meaning he is a firm, immovable structure. It is a picture of who he is. And when Jesus said to Peter, that Peter had nothing to do with it. He simply asked him a question. It was all about the revelation of who Christ is. He said, "Hey, little pebble, it is upon the rock that I will build and establish my church." And we look at what he is doing in our world today. He is building and establishing his church. And the key to finding meaning and significance in your life cannot be divorced from that. And to the degree that you understand what he is doing in establishing a New Testament church, and you become part of that, you become integral to the operation of that, you become a willing participant to it through giving and serving and witnessing, that is where significance in your life is ultimately found. And if you want to look back on your life and say, "Where can I look and find that my life actually had value?" It is what you did in association or through a local New Testament church. That is ultimately where your value is. We don't like to think that way. A lot of times people want to float between ministries. Have you ever noticed when pastors, when people float between ministries, there's no real fruit? Because they're not really connected to what God is actually doing. He's actually building and establishing local New Testament church. And that is where significance is. I look back on times in my life when I was in the Marine Corps. I was saved only 10 months. And I was really well discipled. And I immediately got involved in a bus ministry. And so I would work all day. And then I would go through the barracks at night, witnessing to and winning other Marines, occasionally winning other Marines to the Lord. And then I would do activities with them and bring them to church on Sunday, work on a bus all day Saturday, work on a bus all day Sunday. And when I went to Bible college, I went to Bible college from 7:30 in the morning till 1:30 in the afternoon. At 2:30, I worked until 11:30. I took a big breath in September and exhaled in December. My friend, but do I regret that? Not at all. Those are the glory days. Those are the days when you look back where you serve and you give. And you're like, that was of value. That was of significance. You never regret that. You never regret it. You don't regret the money you gave for Christ. I mean, you don't regret the fact that you served. I mean, those times, like getting ready for a meeting like this, it's the long nights. I mean, it's the sacrifice. It's the time where it costs you something to serve Jesus. That is what significance is. And that's where significance is found. There's a rule that economists use that speaks about where our effect actually comes from. Most of you have heard of it. It's the 80-20 rule. Basically, it says 80% of what you produce comes from 20% of what you actually do. And the other 80% of what you do, it only produces 20%. It's the 80-20 rule. So 80% of what you do is only producing 20% of your fruit. And 20% of what you do is actually producing 80% of your fruit. I think that's true in our lives. I think when you look at, we spend so much time doing what we want to do, what is important to us, in maintaining our presence on this earth, for lack of a better way to say it, we spend so much time with that, but how much time do we actually spend serving the Lord? How much time do we actually spend in our Bibles? How much time do we actually spend witnessing and discipling How much time do we actually spend in the church helping getting ready for the next service, taking out the rubbish, doing all of those particular things? That's significance. That is being a part of the ultimate plan. You know, firemen have to clean firehouses. But what if after their checklist of checking the hoses and the trucks and all of the pumps and valves, and a fire came in and a building is raging, it's an inferno, and they're like, yeah, okay, well, I've got this other stuff done. I'm not quite done with it, but I'll get to that fire. It doesn't make any sense. Neither does our life when we are so involved in every other activity that when it comes time to serve the Lord, we've just got a little wafer of it. Does that make sense? I mean, what is of eternal significance? What actually matters in life? As you get older, you realize you have the utmost respect for people who know what it is to sacrifice and who know what it is to focus on what ultimately matters in their life, focusing on things of importance. Think with me about your life. What about that gadget that you have or want to have? What about that hobby that has become obsessive? What about those things that we become so involved in? Can you see Lot laboring in Sodom, working and endeavoring to be accepted by those people? Can you see him actually trying so hard to become loved and liked by them? But what did it matter? It mattered nothing ultimately. What matters is the focus that we bring to the work of God. And while we may be gifted in certain areas, if it is not in the right area, then ultimately it will have no effect. So Lot is a story. I believe Lot is an actual factual event in the Bible that reveals to you and I what a life comes to when it is not focused on what it is that God is doing. Because ultimately, his life was so at cross purposes with what God was actually doing, it had no eternal significance. And by the time his life winds out to its sorry end, there is nothing of value that is there. It is possible to spend your life chasing something that is absolutely futile. It is possible. What Satan constantly tries to do is he will get you and I to become distracted and pursuing something that does not have actual value, that does not have anything of true and lasting significance. And finally, trying to find value on what others think of you is the ultimate and quickest way to futility. That if I want a life of futility, then I simply must focus on, well, what does everybody else say is important? I mean, what does everybody else say is of value? What do I have to have esteem and standing in their eyes? But when I look at what God is doing in my family and what God is doing in the lives of the unsaved around me, you know, I'm one of 10 children. So my mom and dad had 10 children together, and I am the third oldest. And when I was saved, I was the first one actually to be saved in the family. And ultimately, seven of us are now saved. But when I went into the family, I tried to witness to those who were closest to me because I kind of had a heart and a burden for them. But I've learned that if you'll go into your situation, into your family, and find out who's open, not the one that you're closest to and not the one who you might have certain sympathy for, but rather who is open, where is God working and what is God doing, and connect with that person, that God can use them and around the unsaved ones raise up a greater and stronger witness. Lot never caught on that his life did not produce anything of eternal value. He didn't connect where his choices were leading them. He never stopped and just considered where it was all going. He just persisted on. He was in the drone. He was in the process, never actually thinking about where it was all going and the direction it was all taking him. And by the time he did, he found himself in such compromised situations that ultimately it didn't really matter at that point. If he would have just stopped and thought about it, and isn't that where Satan is at? He's in the hurriedness and the busyness sometimes. We just don't think. about what is of value and what is of importance. He lost his wife, his daughters and stepson burned in Sodom, his two daughters incestuously pregnated through him becoming intoxicated. Lot is in our Bible for a reason. He reveals to you and I what a life that is based on secular value actually brings. That is the outcome of that life. But a life that is anchored in the program and the purpose of God brings tremendous value to us. Are you anchored in your local church? Are you a member? And are you active? Are you participating in it? Are you a help to your pastor? A support to your pastor? Are you the one that is encouraging him and the other workers in the ministry? Are you a part of the ministry that you are involved in? I mean, are you integral in making it go forward, making it expand and making it blossom? Are you a part of doing that? Or are we still stuck and doing our own thing and wondering what we're going to do later in life and wondering how this is going to work out? Do you see that's just really an outcome of what you think is going to fulfill you? You may not recognize it, but that's actually what it is. And ultimately, it is futility. Build a legacy tonight. Build a heritage. Build a foundation of enduring and eternal value. Make the choice to turn from what Lot brings to you. Make a choice to do something of significance or value in your life. And to do that, you've got to see what he is doing. You've got to understand that of all the myriad of things that are going on around you, and the media is so loud and insistent and encroaching in our lives, when we get past all of that, and we begin to settle down and see, the horizon becomes clear, we begin to see that God is at work, and I can become a part of that, and I can connect with it. And as you connect to that, and as you hold on to that through the different stages and the valleys and mountaintops in your life, as you hold on to it week after week and year after year, that's where the blessing becomes very rich. Do you know his will for your life? I told my son recently, Andrew and Caleb, they're both, all three of my kids are in Bible college. Most people know me, I'm the dad of triplets. So they're 21 now, and they graduate in next week from Bible college. But I told them, life's really pretty simple. Find God's will and do it. It's really not hard. I mean, when you think about it, marry the right person. And by the way, if you are married, you are in God's will.
That's right.
But if you're not, find the one that God has for you. Find the right one. And then find out what God wants to do with your life. I mean, it's really not that hard. It's really not.
Amen.
I mean, you think about it. When somebody finds a ministerial successor, they find any kind of success. It's usually based along those lines. They married the one that God wanted to. They found God's will, and they just did what God wanted them to do with their life, and God blessed it. I'm just saying, connect with his program. And you younger guys, if you can connect with that, that man, if I can just know his will, and it is knowable, and you can understand it, and when you get that will, and you perform that will, and do that will, that is where you find value in your life. We will have a life sentence. And we will be defined oftentimes in the minds of people by the lives that we live. And it will matter especially to those who are close to us, to those that we value. But what really matters is what my Father thinks about my life, because he knows ultimately what my life is and what it consists of. And that is what I'm striving for. There are many things I could do or could not do with my life, but I know my Father is watching me, and I want well done, thou good and faithful servant. And through the myriad temptations and trials and afflictions of the Christian life, that is a prize to be had. Well done. You have lived a life of tremendous significance and value. You have pushed back the world of darkness, and you have brought light into the hearts of people. Our world has been different because you have identified what I'm doing and are now doing it. Is that you? Is that really you? I mean, let's get past what we're thinking. We're here in a preaching service. But I mean, really, where you're sitting at right now, is that you? I mean, is that what you're thinking? What he wants me to do with my life? What he wants, not what I want. Because you'll never know God's will until you come to that point of saying, nothing matters but his will. Only when you come to the point of saying, nothing else will I do but what he wants me to do, will you know what he wants you to do. And when you come to that point of living solely for his will, there is freedom, there is liberty, and there is lightness in that. So as you're sitting here today, is that what you really want? Because if it isn't, then what will define you is your desire for fulfillment. And that will be actually lateral. And you'll seek to fulfill that void that in your life through the culture and the value which is around you, which is exactly what Lot did and exactly why his life ended up in the futile place that it did. And we don't have to be there. We don't have to go there. We can live lives of value if we will find his will and we know it. Is that you tonight?